All right. So a lot of you know Mike Smith. He comes here, preaches here sometimes. He also goes around and preaches at other churches sometimes. So he's actually preaching up the street this morning, the First Baptist. Maybe if we get done in time, we can go up there and heckle him a little bit. I actually texted him this morning to tease him about an inside joke and then to say I was praying for him for his message up there. But his text back, one of them said, praying for you too, give them Jesus. So that's what we're here to do. And that's my goal. That's always our goal. We just want to give you Jesus. That's what we need the most. And so this sermon series that we've been going through here, it's literally just called Jesus because I didn't want to be creative. I just wanted to share. This is what Jesus has said. This is what Jesus taught. And this is how it applies to us today and how we can live out what Jesus is teaching us to do. It's really as simple as that. And so this series, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to start today with the topic Jesus was teaching about. And then we're going to move forward into another spot in the Bible where Jesus also taught on the same topic. But we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, starting Matthew chapter 6. Last week we talked about prayer as Jesus went through the Lord's Prayer, where he taught his disciples to pray. And we're going to touch on part of the Lord's Prayer today and then also get to what he said right after that. So let me read the passage for us and then we'll dive into it this morning. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 9 through 15 to start out today. So let me read it for us. Our Father in heaven, Jesus said, pray like this then. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you might have figured it out by now, the topic where we're going today, but the topic is forgiveness. That's what we're looking at this morning. And so forgiveness is baked right into the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we talked about last Sunday. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. But not only is it part of the prayer, so part the fact that it's part of his prayer should show us that this is pretty important, okay? But not only that, but the fact that right after the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that he says is about forgiveness. I think good teachers anticipate the questions that they're going to receive, right? And Jesus was the perfect teacher. He was the greatest teacher of all time. And good teachers anticipate their students' questions. For example, I'm not saying I'm a good teacher. I'm just a sub, so it's all good, okay? But I anticipate my question, the student's main question. The main question I get every day is, can I go to the bathroom? All the time, every day. I get it lots of times. And my go-to answer is just not in here. And then I get weird looks just like you're looking at me right now. But I love to do that just for the awkward look. But anyways, this is not about that. Let me get back to what Jesus is talking about. But okay, he anticipates the question. I think what they were probably thinking of, like, wow, forgiveness. After the Lord's Prayer, like the forgiveness thing kind of stands out. And he says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's almost like he knew that was going to be their biggest question of the whole prayer about forgiveness. And what a strong statement. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Just sit with that for a second this morning. So, Matthew, I'm going to do a little juke here. Okay, I know we started in Matthew 6, but I want to take us to a different passage of the Bible to really flesh out forgiveness. And there's another spot where Jesus taught about forgiveness more explicitly, Matthew 18. So if you want to flip there now, we're going to be there pretty much the rest of the time. So Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So just flip ahead a few chapters to Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Okay, so Peter, this verse starts off with Peter asking Jesus a question in Matthew 18. Okay, Peter's going to ask a question in verse 21. It says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Okay, so it starts off with Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, asking him this question. And just the fact that Peter's asking the question kind of makes me think that maybe something was going on in Peter's life where he had somebody maybe sinning against him. Maybe a brother was doing something harmful. Somebody was sinning against him. And just the question should make us realize and think, first of all, like, we're all going to be sinned against in this life. Okay, and we're all going to sin against others. Trespasses or sins, okay, it's another way to say that Jesus talked about, forgive us our trespasses. That word in the Bible, it refers to the betrayal of a relationship. Okay, there's a sin in the Bible. It talks about sin in different ways. Like, there's sin, like we have a sinful nature, but there's also specific actions that betray a relationship between God and us, and also betray a relationship between us and one another. And the trespass is a way that we betray a relationship. And these are really serious things. The Bible says that it was Adam's trespass. It was his trespass that brought the world into death and chaos and darkness. And the reason that we see the world around us the way it is right now is because of Adam's original trespass, his break of a relationship with God, and Eve's break of a relationship with God. Okay, the good news is Jesus was crucified for our trespasses, for our sins. Romans 4 tells us that. And Ephesians 1:7 says the blood of Jesus, the cross, forgives us for our trespasses. But it's still a really big deal. It's a big deal to break trust with God and to break trust with others. And that's something I want us to see this morning is that a trespass is a very specific type of sin where trust is broken. It's a violation of a relationship, relationships between God and relationships between others. And it creates almost this debt in those relationships, a debt that is owed. Okay, when we trespass against God, there's a debt that's owed to God. When we trespass or sin against another human being, there's a debt in that relationship. And so Peter is experiencing life in this broken world where there will be trespasses. We will sin against others and they will sin against us. And there will be feel this debt, like we feel a debt in the relationship because we messed up or because they messed up. And we feel like they owe us and we feel like they feel like we owe them. And it's just this never ending game of debt and sin. And it's a messed up world, right, that we live in. It is a truly fallen, broken world. And I just want us to see this morning, like, first of all, we're all going to have the opportunity to practice this one. Okay, all of us are going to have the opportunity to put this forgiveness thing into practice. Maybe it's your parents that you need to forgive. Maybe it's siblings. Maybe it's things from your past, from your childhood that you're still holding on to, maybe 30, 40 years later. It could be that today for you. Okay, it could be things present going on now, things going on at work with coworkers or bosses. It could be things with your friends right now. I want you to think about this morning before we really dive into the text. Who is that person that's broken your trust? Okay, that's created a debt in the relationship, that sinned against you. Okay, picture that person in your mind this morning. Okay, picture that person in your mind before we really dive into this. Okay, because Peter asked Jesus, he says, "How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And he asks as many as seven times back to the text. Okay, he says, should I do it seven times? This is so Peter-like. Okay, back in the text here, Peter is kind of funny because he literally tries to answer his own question. And Peter does this a lot if you're familiar with scripture. So he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times. He tries to answer it. And something that's interesting is that at that day, the rabbis, the religious teachers in Jesus' time, had a recommendation that you should forgive your brother three times. Okay, and after three times, you don't have to forgive anymore. And so Peter is making himself sound really good by saying seven to Jesus. Like, I'm going to go way more than three. I'm going to say seven times to Jesus. Okay, here's what Jesus says in verse 22, if you're looking. It says, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some versions of scripture say there 70 times seven times. Okay, and the point is it's a completeness. Now, 70 times seven is 490 if you do that math quick. So is Jesus saying that we should forgive 490 times and on the 491st time that we don't have to forgive, like keeping track, like maybe you're keeping track with your kids, like, hey, don't mess up. You're at 487. You got three more chances. Okay, that's not what Jesus is saying. Okay, what he's saying is it's a complete number. The number seven in the Bible signifies completeness. It's God's number. It's a wholeness or completeness. So seven or 70 times seven, Jesus is saying it's an unlimited number of times that you're called to forgive your brother. It's unlimited. There's no end to it. There's no counting it. He's telling Peter, it's not seven, it's not three, it's not 490. It is an unlimited number of times. Followers of Jesus are called to forgive others infinitely. And here's why. Forgiven people forgive people. This is something I want you to take away from today, okay? Forgiven people forgive people. It's real easy to remember, a lot harder to do, I know. But forgiven people forgive people. So let's look into what Jesus is going to say next. He's going to tell us a story here in verse 23 and the rest of this passage. And we're going to see three ways that we are called to forgive others in this passage and in the story. Okay, so let's start in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So in this story Jesus is about to tell, the first thing we're going to see is that forgiveness is needed in this story. Forgiveness is needed for all of us, and it was needed in the story for this servant. Okay, so as we dive into this story, first we got to understand the king here is God, the Father, the master is Jesus, and the servants are representing us. Okay, and he's going to tell us this story to show us the spiritual truth, but the servant represents us. And he says there's this servant who owed the king. Okay, and the king wanted to settle all of his debts. Okay, but this servant could not pay, so the master ordered him to be sold, his wife, children, all that he had. Okay, so here's what it tells us, how much he owed. Sorry, I'm just trying to find. Oh, there it is, in verse 24. He owed him 10,000 talents. That was what the servant owed the master, owed the king in this case. Okay, so when we just read the Bible, like, and we're not familiar with like the times, which I get, like when I just read this the first time, I wouldn't have taken this away because we're like, what is a talent, right? Who knows what that is? But here's the thing, a talent, one talent was and is the equivalent of 20 years of a wages for a typical person at that time. Okay, so 10,000, it says in the text, 10,000 talents is what that servant owed to the master. So 10,000 talents, that's 200,000 years of wages. Now, just think about what you earn at work and think about how long it would take you to get to 200,000 years of your wages. Like that's, some people say that's $7 billion in today's world. Okay, the servant owed the man $7 billion. This is crazy. And here's the reason that Jesus is going with this outrageous number. Like he could have picked any number in the story, right? But he picks this outrageous $7 billion dollars number because he wants to teach us about sin. Okay? He wants to teach us about what sin is. See, in our culture, in our world, we don't necessarily like to talk about sin, right? We prefer to call it maybe a bad choice or a growth area. That kind of stuff. Okay, and the problem is in our culture, most people only look at sin in a horizontal way. Like, we only look at sin and how it affects other people. We see that sometimes we sin and it hurts other people, and we look at it all horizontally between human relationships. But here's an example I want you to see today and in the Bible where sin is not just horizontal. There's a guy named David, a king. You might be familiar with this story. He cheated on his wife or with Bathsheba, okay? And then not only did he cheat with Bathsheba and get her pregnant, he also had Bathsheba's wife or husband murdered and basically, lied about it, okay? So did a horrible thing, all these horrible things to people, hurt people in different ways. And when David's praying in Psalm 51 and asking for forgiveness from God, here's what he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Okay, all these things that he did to people, but David realized ultimately his sin was against God, even though there was horizontal effects. Okay, sin is both vertical and horizontal. It doesn't mean that when we sin, it doesn't hurt other people and people don't hurt us when they sin, but sin is something that's against God ultimately. Sin is against him. Okay, and sin is bad or sin is sin, not because of the effects that it has in relationships when it does. But sin is bad ultimately because it's rejecting relationship with a good and holy God. It's rejecting that. Okay, when we lie or steal or hate or lust or whatever it might be, it's rejecting what Jesus calls good and replacing it with what we think or what we want to call good. This is what makes sin bad. It's not what it does to other humans. And yes, it does hurt other humans, but it's replacing God with ourself. And this is why sin is bad. And this is why hell exists. And this is why there is a debt that we owe to God. What I want us to see again first this morning is forgiveness is needed. All of us need forgiveness. The guy comes to him with a $7 billion debt. Jesus is trying to say that is what our sin debt is like to God. It's why forgiveness is needed. Now, here's what the servant does in verse 26. This is so amazing to me. Okay, look at verse 26. The servant, again, remember, $7 billion debt. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Okay, he tells him, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay this $7 billion, right? The servant tries to take things into his own hands. He wants to earn it and repay it. Makes no sense, right? He owes $7 billion. There's no way he could ever pay that back. But here's what I want, another thing, okay, this morning. Like, we do the same thing sometimes in our life. And this is what religion does outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, outside of what the Bible teaches is the gospel of Jesus. Every religion outside of that tries to do this in some way, shape, or form. Tries to pay back God for their sin. Tries to earn a relationship with God. This is called works-based righteousness. It's works-based salvation. Okay, that kind of thinking says God will love you and when you are better. Okay, God will love a better version of you. Like, if you just do this, then you can cover your sin. Like, you can pay that debt somehow. That $7 billion debt, you can earn it and work hard if you do this, 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 and this. If you take this step in your faith and in the church and whatever, okay? There's so much, we could go on and on and on about works-based righteousness and how much of it there is out there. Sometimes it comes in other religions. Sometimes it comes in the name of Christianity, but it's still works-based, okay? The gospel says God loves you and wants a relationship with you right now, how you are, no matter what, before your works, and that you can't earn that. You can't pay that $7 billion debt back. No matter how good you were, you cannot pay that debt, and the only hope that you have is that Jesus paid that debt for you. The only hope that you have is that Jesus went to the cross to forgive your sin, and that he loves you and wants a relationship with you right now. Okay, and it doesn't mean that we don't work on our character and our work out our faith and change from the inside out. It doesn't mean that we don't worry about like behavior at all. But this is, we don't earn it. Okay, that's the point. We don't earn it. And what it looks like to God, just like think about what it looks like to God when we're trying to earn our salvation, when we're trying to work up to him in some way, shape, or form, and trying to be good enough for him. It literally looks like we're having a $7 billion debt and we're trying to pay pennies. Like we're trying to scrounge up the pennies to just pay this $7 billion debt. And so it's silly, right? It's silly when we think that we can earn it, when we think that we can somehow earn God's love. We cannot earn God's love. We all need forgiveness. We all need that $7 billion debt taken away. And I want you to see this morning how that can happen for you, because it can. Okay, so the next thing we see is when forgiveness was offered or should have been received. Okay, verse 27, continuing in the story. Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Okay, forgiveness was offered to this servant. The servant, the master said he was going to pay the debt. This is reflecting what Jesus has done for us. Forgiveness is offered to the servant just like forgiveness is offered to us in Jesus Christ. This is what the cross was all about. Ephesians 1:7. In him, Christ, we have redemption. He's purchased us back through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. This is what the gospel is all about. Christ has forgiven our sins. He has paid a debt that we could not pay, and that he has forgiven us. Okay? The Bible, when the Bible talks about the word forgiveness, it uses the word in Greek. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I can't. But it means to send something away. Okay, the word the Bible uses means to send something away, to let it go completely, to send it out. Okay, and it refers to the act of putting something away, laying it aside. And so what that's showing is God is sending away the obligation that we have, that we owe him because of our sin. He's sending it away. He's letting go of a debt completely. I love Psalm 103 and what the picture it gives about God's forgiveness in our lives, okay? Psalm 103 says, he has removed, God's removed our sins as far as from the east is from the west. The east is from the west. Like, you literally can't get far, like, farther than that, right? It's east and west is, like, you can never wrap your head around. That's just infinite. Like, we can never go east and get to west. Or I don't really know how that works. But the point is, it's amazing, right? Like, you can't ever get there. This is the way God forgives us in Christ completely. He doesn't hold on to it. Okay, he doesn't hold on to it for later so he can beat us up about it later. He doesn't do that. That's not the way God is. That's not his heart. He completely lets go of the debt. So forgiveness is offered to the servant, and forgiveness is offered to us through Christ. He wants to completely let go of that debt, but we have to receive it. Okay, and we're going to look in the story and see, does the servant receive that forgiveness, or does he go on not receiving it? Okay, so let's look at verses 28 through 31 in the story. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. This is amazing, right? It seems like before the servant could even hear the words, I forgive you of the debt, like before he could even hear those words, he goes out and he starts to try to pay it himself. He goes out and he literally starts choking people to try to get enough money to pay this debt. Now it says he got 100 denarii. Okay, he goes and he asks for there's somebody else who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, so like somebody else owed him money, so he goes to get that money. Okay, now 100 denarii was about $100 days worth of wages at that time. So it's a little bit of money, but it's not nearly 10,000 talents. Okay, it's not nearly the $7 billion. It's actually 1/600,000th of that. Okay, so 1/600,000th of what he owed was what somebody else owed him. And so this would literally be like owing somebody $600,000 and then going to somebody else who owed you $1 and choking them for that $1. Like, it's just amazing to think about what he's doing here. He's like going crazy, okay? But here's the picture. Okay, don't miss out on the picture this morning. When we are forgiven of a debt like a $7 billion debt, when we're forgiven of the debt that we owe to God for our sin, it is really silly for us to choke others out for the little debts that they owe against us. When we can't let go of that $1 versus the $600,000 that we owe God, that's what it looks like to God. It looks like we're choking people out for that $1 bill. Okay, we're not going to let go of what they did to us. Okay, that's the picture that Jesus is trying to give here. Okay, and just like I said this morning, like if there's someone you're thinking of this morning that you're just having a hard time forgiving, you're having a hard time of letting that debt go. Okay, I don't want to say that their debt. I want you to hear this. Like, their debt to you is real. Like, the sin that they did to you is real. I'm not minimizing that at all this morning. But when you think about the sin that they owe you versus what you owe to God, when you think about the difference between what Jesus did for you on the cross and all of the debt that he has canceled on your behalf, all of the sin, it seems a little bit silly to not let that debt between you and that person go, right? That's the point Jesus is getting at here. So let's look at verses 32 through 35, close out the story. It says, Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Then Jesus says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. And the point of the parable today, guys, is that we are called to forgive others as a reflection of God's forgiveness for us. That forgiveness that we have received as Christians, as believers, needs to be reflected into our lives. Like I said before, forgiven people forgive people. Luke 6:36 says, therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We are called as believers to reflect God's forgiveness to a broken and hurting world around us. And this is not easy to do, but it is possible to do. We can do this with God's help. We are called to forgive people. Okay? And here's the thing. Sometimes we're tempted to forgive like we want to forgive, right? Like we forgive them, but we're going to remember it and we're going to hold on to it a little bit so that we can bring it back up later down the line and kind of remind them of it later. That's not how God forgives us. We're called to forgive others like God forgives us. Okay, God doesn't hold on to it. Remember the whole East and West thing. We're completely forgiven when we are in Christ. God completely sends away our sin. He completely forgives us for the sin. He doesn't hold on to it for the future. Okay, Scripture doesn't say, be stingy with your forgiveness like your Father in heaven is stingy with his forgiveness. No, it says completely forgive. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. I love this quote from D.L. Moody. He says, those who say they forgive but can't forget simply bury the hatchet but leave the handle out for immediate use. Okay, it's like you buried the hatchet, right? But you're going to leave that handle out because maybe someday I might need to remind them of what they did to me. Okay, that's not forgiveness like God forgives us. We are called to forgive others completely, like God has forgiven us in Christ. Now, I want to be careful this morning and recognize that sometimes, let me just put this on the screen and then I'll explain. Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. Okay, so don't hear me saying this morning that if there's somebody who's hurt you, somebody who's abused you, especially somebody who's really done something awful to you in your life, that you need to go out, call them, hey, let's be friends again. Like, let them back into your life. That's not what I'm saying by forgiveness. Forgiveness is about letting go of the debt that we perceive that they owe us. Okay, forgiveness is about letting that go, completely letting them go of that. Because when we do that, it actually frees us to go on with our life. Okay, forgiveness just takes one person. Reconciliation takes two people. Okay, and sometimes it should lead to reconciliation. But sometimes it shouldn't, okay? Just to be honest, there's people in my life that I need to forgive, that I'm working through. Like, it's a battle every day. I've got to forgive them. But I really feel no need to reconcile with them, okay? Because they're toxic people. They're people who are not good to be part of my life. Like, there's no ongoing relationship. So don't think that I'm saying you need to go and open yourself up to more hurt or more pain. But you do need to let go of what they've done to you. You do need to let go of that debt. Okay, and so forgiveness is different than reconciliation. And last point to make this morning. This was kind of a question. The first time that I ever preached through this passage, it was based at a church in Ohio, and it was a question that asked about salvation. It was asking, is this servant saved or not saved? Is he going to be in heaven in this story? Okay, it was kind of the question that was raised. And what I said there, I think is true, is that forgiveness not reflected points to forgiveness not received. Okay, the servant was, I believe, he never received forgiveness, right? He wasn't saved. He couldn't offer that forgiveness to others. And so in the end, yeah, this unforgiving servant, I don't think that he knew God or had a relationship with God, but it wasn't because he wouldn't forgive. It was because he had never received forgiveness. Okay, remember, he was out there trying to pay his own debt. He was never actually let God forgive him or receive that. He tried to come to God on his own terms by trying to pay for his own sin. Okay, so I don't think that he was forgiven, but it wasn't because he wouldn't forgive others. It was because he had never received the forgiveness of God. And so when we forgive, or when we are forgiven, we will forgive others. When we are forgiven, we will forgive others. And if you're struggling this morning to forgive someone, just remember that debt. Remember that $7 billion debt that God has paid for you. Okay, and just ask yourself this morning, like, if you're not really sure, again, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, ask yourself, have I received God's forgiveness? Or am I maybe kind of like that servant trying to pay my own debt, trying to earn my way to God? Okay, have I actually received that forgiveness? Have I totally put my faith in Jesus Christ? That's what it means. That's how we receive it. Okay, I didn't really talk about that this morning, but we receive the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, by saying yes to him, putting our faith and trust in him alone. what he has done for us on the cross and not in ourselves. That's how we receive it. Okay? That's how we receive it. And if you have, then you're called to forgive others. You're called to forgive others in the way that God forgives us. Because when you do that, God is glorified. God is glorified. That is something that we cannot do in our own strength. But we can do it with Christ. We can do it with Christ. I just want to close this morning with one story. This is the last thing I'm going to share today. Because we're kind of thinking like it might be hard to forgive certain people in our life. I just want to close with this story. Corrie ten Boom was a believer. Okay, she was a Christian and lived in Europe at the time of the Holocaust. And she was saving or helping to hide Jewish people in her home. And that actually got her sent to a concentration camp. And I just want to share this story with you because it's very powerful. I'm going to read her words exactly. So it says this. It was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A balding, heavyset man in a gray overcoat. A brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights and the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of skin. My sister Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me with his hand thrust out. A fine message. How good is it to know that as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he said. I was a guard there, but since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Again, the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there and could not, she said. Betsy, her sister, had died in that place. How could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? But forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. Then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let me pray for us today. Father, thank you for this morning.